Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
You know, what we got here is the pot calling the kettle black. You know, we're talking about drama kings and drama queens, and the ones that's talking about it is standing back there doing the drama on his own. And he needs to just be quiet.
I'd like to just call for the people who I consider drama kings and queens to just stay out of the city business. And let city handle business and, you know, keep your bullshit at your house. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
So, I didn't watch... I didn't watch the whole meeting last night. I don't typically watch the meetings as they're happening anymore. I used to, and I discovered that it was not a really productive way to do things because it takes so much time to be watching them and cutting the audio and trying to make all that work at the same time. What I usually do is I record the meeting, and then I watch it the next day, and then I cut the clips, and I get back to you. That's why I'm usually on the second day after the meeting is when I report to you, or sometimes thereafter. But I figured with all of this stuff that was going to be going on last night, I ought to at least pay attention a little bit to the City of Milton City Council meeting, the agenda workshop, where they were going to have a little bit of an autopsy about the failed bid to hire Scott Collins as a city manager. Now, part of the reason that I wanted to watch some of this drama is just so I could have the audio clips for you to tell you the tone. I did not see it all, so I cannot tell you everything that was said. What I can tell you is what I learned in the hour-long conversation that I had with Scott Collins yesterday. And I learned a lot. First thing that I learned in talking with him yesterday, and by the way, let me tell you this. I had so many conversations with different people about this. I had talked with Don Molinaro, who's city clerk for Milton. I talked with Alex Andrade about this. You know, I talk with a lot of people, okay? And I still didn't understand. I had read all the emails. I had seen all the everything that had been released. And there was a lot. Like, there was a lot of drama. More drama than it seemed like there should be, okay? And it didn't make sense. Like, I had read everything, and I mean, there's a lot, okay? And I had read everything. I thought, this doesn't make sense. So I just wanted to talk to Scott to see if I could connect the dots. And I think I've connected the dots. Like, I think I actually know what happened. And you want to know something? This is both sad and terrible and good all at the same time. I really think, okay, and I may be wrong, but I really think there's no one person or anybody really to blame. There's a maybe one person to blame. But what I really think happened is just massive miscommunication that just snowballed in an environment where nobody trusts anybody and everybody thinks everybody else is wicked and evil and horrible and not to do nefarious things. There is a toxic environment around the City of Milton government, and everybody thinks that everybody else is wicked and terrible and evil. And when you start from that premise, it's very hard to make anything work well. Very hard. Okay? And I really think that's what happened here. So I'll tell you some things that I learned. Scott Collins doesn't have any problem with anybody here. And this is a really good guy. This is a really smart guy. It is really a loss for us that we're not hiring him. Okay? And but he doesn't have a problem with Alex Andrade. He said he was very polite and straightforward, no issue. Doesn't have a problem with Mike Cusack, the city council member who had been designated as the liaison to negotiate the contract with him with Alex Andrade. No problem with Mike. Not at all. You know, no problem. Likes Don Molinaro, the city clerk. Likes Heather Lindsay. You know, doesn't really know Randy. Randy didn't come up very much, but Randy's a retiring one. Okay. No problem with the public. You know, there's nobody in particular that he had any issue with. And even though he had started getting phone calls 15 minutes after his Zoom interview 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, because we put the phone number and information out on the resumes, that should have been redacted. And in the future, here's my number one recommendation. Please don't put these folks' phone numbers and emails out on their application. That's a bad choice. Don't do that in the future. That's step one. But he doesn't have... So in his mind, there wasn't really anybody out to do awful. But I will tell you, and by the way, after his in-person interview, he started getting phone calls within 45 minutes after that. And it was people trying to play politics a little bit, members of the public, okay, trying to find out where he was on certain things and maybe sort of halfway get him to commit to being on their side or somebody else's side. And he said, that's fine. You know, no big deal. Not a big problem. I just didn't commit to anything because I didn't think that was my role. And it wasn't my role. My role is to be there as a city manager for everybody, for the entire city council, right? Okay, so, okay, fine. But here's where the problems began. The city council voted 8-0 to pick him, and then they voted 8-0 to authorize Mike Cusack to go along with the negotiations that were going to be conducted by Alex Andrade. That was the vote they took. Was Alex was the negotiator, the city attorney, and Mike was supposed to be the liaison to be involved in all of this. The problem is, as I read it, Alex understood his role to be the primary negotiator, and Mike thought his role was to be the primary negotiator. And once you start with those incompatible premises, you start to see where some of the problems came from. Because Scott Collins told me that he got a call from Mike, or I should say they talked, because Mike claims that Scott called him. I don't know which is true. I didn't ask that detail. But they were talking within a day, Wednesday after the Tuesday meeting, and Scott says that Mike, you know, basically made him an offer. The salary range was 120 to 140. And, you know, Alex and Mike had conversations back and forth about this. And I will tell you that the timeline on this, I think Scott is right because Scott has shown himself to be very reliable. But matching it up with the emails and what everybody else has said is a little bit difficult. So I'm not sure what the truth of it is. But I'll tell you what Scott told me and what he told me makes sense. So that's why I'm kind of believing it. Basically, Mike says to Scott that Alex and he, you know, Cusack says to Collins that Andrade and Cusack had had a conversation about contract terms and that Alex wanted to offer $128,000 and Mike thought he was worth more than that and wanted to offer him $135,000. So we're going to go with $135,000. So he made a very early offer to Scott Collins of $135,000. Not a problem. The range was $120 to $140. In and of itself, no big deal. Scott told me he'd be willing to work for $120. He didn't need the money. That wasn't the issue. That was never the issue. And, you know, he actually preferred not to take the high end of the salary range when others might be low in the city because he wanted to be a leader by example and, you know, not take too much and be seen as the guy who, you know, was ripping the city off from the beginning. He wanted to create some credibility coming in. So he's like, man, $120 would have been fine with me. No worries. It wasn't about the money. It never was about the money. So then Alex sends Scott an email with a couple of detailed questions that are not that important. And then he follows up with Mike and they chat. And then they talk about whether it should be $128 or $130 is the offer. And so Alex writes a contract for $130 and sends it to Scott. So Scott's thinking it's $135. And then he gets a letter from Alex saying it's $130. And now he's wondering, well, what is the number? And not that it matters, but who's negotiating with me? Because I thought it was this guy and now it's this other guy. And that's confusing. And there were some other things in there. There were some confusions in the contract that really don't matter all that much for our conversation today, but there are things that need to be cleaned up. It's not a big deal. He didn't get any harassing calls from anybody. He did get calls from members of the public, including members of the Pitchfork Posse, but they were all nice to him. I mean, that wasn't an issue, like that theory that that's an issue. Dozens of calls between the meetings and then after the meeting. I mean, lots and lots of calls. And in the end, He heard from a friend somewhere along the line in Birmingham, unrelated, like how this happened, I'm still not sure, he's not sure, that there was somebody was trying to work to make this all fail so that some other candidate could get in, was the sort of the story that he heard. And it seemed like that combined with the confusion over who was negotiating and what the terms were and some of the discrepancies in how the contract was written, which the contract was just copied over from an old contract from a previous city manager, so that's not design. And he basically looked at all of the drama around this and all of the, you know, even the like kind of bad date that he saw from the city council, the dysfunction in the city council. And I mean, it was, he was willing to work with it. No problem. But, you know, all of that combined with one simple fact, which was he was going to have to move so many hours away. He told me several times, if I was just going across the street to work somewhere, I would have taken the job easy. The real issue is that because of my perception that there was a pretty good chance that there was something to this rumor that people were out to sabotage his city managership, that he was going to, he did not want to move his, he's got three children, nieces, nephews that he kind of, parents, there's a long story there, but it doesn't really matter for your purposes. Two adult grown kids and then these three other teenagers. He didn't want to uproot them and move his family to a place where it seemed like, A, there was an effort to sabotage him, maybe that would mean he'd have to move again in 6 months to 9 months or something like that if it couldn't be made to work out here. And also, B, it just didn't seem like the city of Milton was really committed to making things better. And he wanted to make things better. He had a lot of ideas for how to do that. But it seemed like when he took over at Fairview, one of the things he told me is it was a hot mess, but they all recognized it needed to be fixed and they were willing to work together to make it happen. That was not something he perceived among the different elements, the two or three, as he'd call them, anthills, that are all fighting with each other all the time at the city of Milton. And again, not that he has a problem with anybody, and he likes Milton, he loves Milton. This is a great opportunity. He wishes he could have taken the job. But just kind of put all that together, and he said, I couldn't make the choice that would wind up kind of being a risk to my family and our peace and stability and happiness. And so, I have to buy out. He hopes the best for Milton. He hopes to find the right person, of course. But that's the story. Now, the only issue, if you're going to do an autopsy of this, as I see it, the only real issue, it's not about this. Oh, my God. The conversation between Jeff Snow and James Calkins, of all people, and Scott Collins after the meeting, not an issue. It was a nothing burger. Anybody who says otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about. Because I talked to the guy, and he's like, yeah, that was, I mean, just nothing to it. It was not what it's been reported or what people are saying. Okay. The only issue was Mike authorized to negotiate or was Alex authorized to negotiate? The timeline, why did Mike offer 135 and then subsequently tell Alex to offer 130? You know, some of that stuff still, I think, needs to be worked out. But going forward, the only issue is just be clear about who's doing the negotiating, be clear about who's got the authority, and then just try to work together a little bit. I really think this could have been avoided. Which is a tragedy because it's a really good guy. And now we're without him.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I want to give you some neighborly recommendations, okay? Because in my military experience, I've had to go into a failing squadron, right? Right now, you all have you're a failing squadron, okay? Or...
I'd like to just call for the people who I consider drama kings and queens to just stay out of the city business and let city handle business and, you know, keep your bullshit. Your house, and that's all I have to say.
You know, what we got here is the pot calling the kettle black. You know, we're talking about drama kings and drama queens, and the ones that's talking about it is standing back there doing the drama on his own, and he needs to just be quiet.
If anyone wants to have a conversation outside the chamber, you're welcome to do it. If you're going to stay in here, please maintain decorum. We're in a recess, but that doesn't mean we're going to have arguments inside here. And step outside.
So, Milton City Council meeting last night was, as you would have predicted, a bit of a drama fest. And yet, you know, a lot of times I waggle my finger and joke about the crazy shenanigans that go on in Milton and the City Council there. I actually have what I think is really good news. Now, it may turn out that I've got some things wrong again. You never know. But I spent an hour on the phone yesterday, actually during the meeting. I did not watch all of the meeting. I watched some bits and pieces and I cut some clips, but I didn't watch the full meeting. So from 5:30 to 6:30 last night, I was on the phone with Scott Collins, who was the manager that applied and got hired unanimously and then got negotiated with. And then everything went sideways and now he's out, double out. Like it was a hokey pokey. He was in, he was out, he was in, he was out, he's out, out, out. Okay. And let me just tell you this, great guy. I mean, I really like this guy. I feel like we really missed an opportunity to have him as a city manager. He had some, I mean, just across the board, he's the guy you wanted. He really is. I understand after not just his interview, but after talking with him, why the Milton City Council voted 8-0. some things that I learned. And I, by the way, there is backstory on backstory. There's been animosity and acrimony and allegations of plots and things, intemperate things said in emails by employee. It's a hot mess in Milton right now, okay? Over all of this, really a lot of stuff. I'm not going to get into all of that because I think the takeaway from all of this is it's actually pretty easy to understand how this happened, but it took me talking to him to figure it out because reading all the emails and talking to different people did not solve the problem for me. So here's what I learned. They have the meeting. They have the Zoom meeting, you know, which is all the interviews. And he said he was getting calls within like 15 or 20 minutes of that Zoom meeting from citizens because they had put out the information that this was the number and this is the email. They should not do that in the future. I would say redact that information in the future. At least make it hard to find, not so easy to find. In and of itself, not such a big deal, but, you know, and he, and by the way, he said very clearly, I don't have any animosity towards Alex Andrade. I don't have any animosity towards Heather Lindsay or Don Molinaro, the city clerk, or towards Mike Cusack. They were all great. No problem with the members of the public. Everybody was great. There was this allegation about Jeff Snow and James Calkins accosting him after the meeting. He says, none of that. None of that. It was just, they were in the parking lot. I kind of talked to him because it would have been weird not to talk to him. And, you know, Jeff kind of made a joke about, you know, hey, don't steamroll us in the negotiations. I took no offense at it. People have misreported that. Like, across the board, this is an overreaction to everything. He said there's no problems, okay, in any of these things. But here's what I think. So how did all this go sideways? Here's what I think happened. City Council votes to make Alex Andrade the negotiator, the city attorney the negotiator, and Mike Cusack to be the liaison, just to have somebody from council involved in that process. And so Alex was preparing to do the negotiations, and he had sent an email, and he tried to arrange a time to talk, and they'd kind of back and forth over a couple of days, and it was Thursday before they got together, and they did. He got basic questions answered. He had kept Mike Cusack in the loop on what was going on. Mike Cusack had expressed various frustrations about this for reasons I still can't quite make sense of, but I think I do now. And in the end, he made him an offer, okay, and then he pulled out on Saturday. Okay, made an offer on like Thursday and they pulled out on Saturday. What I learned yesterday in talking to Scott Collins is that Mike Cusack thought he was the person that was supposed to be negotiating. And that Alex was more of the like, just write the deals up, you know, write the contract up. Just the, you know, the jot and tittle guy, cross the I's and, or cross the T's and dot the I's. So apparently that's what Scott thought. And that is apparently what Mike thought. And so what happened is Mike gets on the phone. This is Scott Collins' narrative. Mike gets on the phone with Scott ahead of anything else. And says, you know, Alex Andrade wants to offer you 128. I think you ought to be offered 135. The range was 120 to 140. And so I'm going to offer you 135. That is not how it should have gone down. But if Mike really thought he was the negotiator, then I understand why he said that. The following 2 days later, sorry, a day later, that was Wednesday. On Thursday, he gets the draft from Alex for 130. And he's like, the what? Who's negotiating? Who's in charge of this? He didn't want to ask counsel what was going on because he didn't want to look like the dummy. But basically, Mike thought he was doing it. Alex thought he was doing it. They didn't agree. Now, some of the timeline here still doesn't quite make sense to me. But the short version is, I think Mike pre-undermined Alex by saying, well, he wants to offer 128, but I'm going to offer you 135. And then he didn't tell Alex that he was negotiating, which he should not have been, but if he thought he should have been, then I understand why he was. Come to find out, you know, he doesn't bring it up in any of the emails. He doesn't tell Alex, hey, I've offered him 135. But basically, Scott Collins is just confused why that's happening. Okay, that's kind of the backdrop. Why did he pull out? Over that, it doesn't seem like a big thing, especially since he had told Buzz Eddy, I'd work for 120. It's not about the money. In fact, I like coming at the low end of the scale because that doesn't alienate the workers who might be underpaid themselves, cops and firemen. And, you know, let's not put on a pretense of taking too much money. He was willing to work for 120 and they're offering him, well, either 130 or 135. So why, if this was all it was a confusion about who was doing the negotiating and what the number was going to be, why did he pull out? Well, he told me there was a couple of things. Number one, and it wasn't anything like the public wasn't harassing him. He was getting a lot of calls, but none of it was like obnoxious. There wasn't any problem there. Even with the Pitchfork Posse people, it wasn't obnoxious, okay? He just said one thing was it seemed some of the confusion seemed weird to him. And then he had kind of heard from a friend in Birmingham, completely unrelated to anything, that weirdly, like, there was some plot out to get him, to make this not work, to sabotage his, you know, tenure as city manager to bring in somebody else. And he thought, well, that's odd. And then he said, look, comparing this situation to the situation in Fairview that he had taken over, where they also had conflict, at least in Fairview, they were all on the same page in the sense that they needed to fix it. And he said, you know, I didn't really see that in Milton. What I saw was a lot of people fighting, you know, the anthills scurrying around fighting each other. That's kind of his expression. He says, but I didn't get the sense like everybody was convinced it needed changing. And there's going to be some things need to change. A lot of things are going to need to change to make it work. But he was very optimistic. He thought Milton's a great place. Milton is a great opportunity. I'd be a fool to pass this up because it's so great. Unless, and here's where he had concerns, is I'm moving my family. And I got kids I got to take care of. I got to think about their well-being. And if there is this opposition under current political bickering going on, if the city's not all on the same page to try to fix these problems, if I'm going to have to move again in 6 months to a year because of all that, and it's going to be failure from the start, that's not worth the risk to me. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. If it had been taking a job across the street or a 20-minute commute, he would have done it. It was just moving his whole family here with all of this stuff that kept him from saying yes. And that's the answer. And most of the problem was caused by competing visions of who was supposed to do negotiating. Alex thought it was him. I think council designated him. Mike Cusack thought that it was him. He acted on that. And then there's some, you know, why did he hide from Alex that he was negotiating? Why did he hide from Alex that he had had conversations and talked about numbers? Why did he tell him to offer 128 and then Alex actually went to 130 because of not having to do a $5,000 stipend? If there's things to be excavated, those are the things to be excavated. So there is real dysfunction in Milton. There is political bickering and backfighting. And the basic problem is not that. It's that everybody doesn't trust everybody else. See, when I talked to Scott and I got these answers, I thought, you know, all of this kind of makes sense to me. Everybody overreacted the wrong way. I mean, for goodness sakes, the city clerk and the mayor, like, went and made a call with him at, like, the mayor's house just to not be in City Hall when it was happening so that it could be done in a, like, secluded environment away from all of, and, like, that's the level of dysfunction. And I don't think they made the wrong choice to do that. I'm just saying circumstances put them in the position of feeling the need to do that. That's crazy. So, who are you going to hire next? Are you going to be able to find somebody? And this is a real consequence of the dysfunction that we're always reporting on. And, I mean, just it's that simple. You're going to have to get your stuff together, folks, or nobody's going to come to work for you. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, today for the wrap, we're recapping the week's news with a couple of friends, a couple of recidivists here. So we got Walker Wilson, who is the executive director for the Downtown Improvement Board, as you sometimes heard it referred to colloquially as the DIB.
That's it.
Nobody calls
here.
It the DIB.
Happy Friday.
I think I'm going to start a thing. Let's call it the DIB.
Hey,
let's call it. You work at the DIB.
It's that guy from the DIB.
It sounds more like hip than, you know, it seems like an Urban Dictionary kind of thing than to say the DIB. I don't. How did it come to be the DIB instead of the DIB?
I don't know. That's okay. Just.
All right.
You know,
I'm going to make it happen.
Along the way.
If we're going to call it the Chappie, we're going to call it the DIB. Ed.
Ed kind of close to DIP, though. So.
Yeah.
You know, but that's good now. Oh, okay. I'm going to sound so 52 right now. My boys were telling me the other day that drip is a good thing. If you're dripped up, means you dress well.
You got some drip, yeah.
You know this. You're young enough to know. Okay, all right. I'm not.
It's something different when you're a little bit older. Yeah, it's like, I don't want that. Yeah.
So would you say he's got the drip? Was that not?
Yeah, he's got the drip.
No, that's not the way you say that? Okay, all right, confusing. Ed Carson.
Where am I?
Is one of Ed Carson with Carson Lovell and just, you know, good friend who's kind of involved in all kinds of things, and that's why I was like to have him on. Let's just start with this. My goodness. I don't know to what degree you've each been following the drama over the Milton City Manager. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot to say, but I've gone over it twice today, and I always think like twice in a 4-hour period of extensive treatment is kind of enough. But my short version is my understanding of all of the pieces now, as I think I do have it, is this could have been completely avoided, but because mm-hmm. we have such a toxic distrust, everybody's on tilt all the time, that even ordinary misunderstandings get blasted into a nuclear fight. And because of that, what I think a healthier organization would have handled pretty easily in this case became a catastrophe where they lost an incredibly talented person to come work for the city. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to me. And I listen, of course, to you in the morning, and I listen to some of the meetings. And I saw a text exchange between the candidate and Mr. Andrade.
That's right, uh-huh.
And
after he had withdrawn.
Correct.
Twice.
And it's just hard to imagine that. I mean, here, I always tell people, I say, where in the state of Florida can you find this quaint little riverfront city?
Right.
It's 2 miles from the interstate.
Where good living flows.
It's stuck in 1950.
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird. And he even said, when I was talking to him yesterday, for about an hour, he said, God, Milton is a great opportunity. Milton is in a great position to do amazing things. Mm-hmm. The problems that they think of as being big problems really aren't. I can see solutions for all of it. I would love to come there, but I just can't make this decision with my family, and it's such turmoil and uncertainty. It would not be prudent of me as a dad to make this choice.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to step into a position like that, and then it's already on a rocky foundation. It's sad to see that you lose a quality candidate over, you know, essentially foolishness, right? And it seems like the council, decided on letting somebody negotiate the contract, and then perhaps some of the members stepped in the middle of that negotiation process. There was questions over the contract that was sent. And I think, you know, there's some, it could be true that the mayor of Milton originally wrote this almost exact contract in her former role as the attorney for Milton.
Right.
And then questioned the contract that right. she possibly wrote.
For the guy two city managers ago, right.
Right, exactly. So, it's just, it's crazy, and you hate to see it, and hopefully they can kind of get on the right footing and move forward and find somebody that'll be a good fit.
And really, to me, the big takeaway to me is, we're going to continue, Milton is going to continue to have these problems if we can't figure out how to work together and get along. You can have drama in the meetings. That's fine. It'd be nice if you could turn it down for one meeting while the candidate comes.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me, I was a little surprised by the tone of the meeting while they're kind of trying to put their best face forward to appeal to me too, right? And they kind of let some of this stuff happen. And I was like, oh, okay. Right. And he's like, it seemed, and I'm like, sir, on a 1 to Milton scale, that's a 3.
Yeah.
But still, to me, the big takeaway is that, like, healthy organizations, like healthy relationships, healthy friendships, anything, when problems come, because there's trust and communication, you can handle the problem.
Sure.
Unhealthy, dysfunctional organizations, and that's, again, relationships, workplaces, or in this place, a government, when problems come, everybody's into, hyper chaos mode because that's what they think everybody else is into. And I mean, it can't really function effectively that way.